More than 50 works of art created by Allen Arts Academy students, teachers, and alumni, as well as well-known artists from the Lehigh Valley community and beyond, will be the subject of somewhat unique art show and art sale Wednesday, November the 13th. The Academy of the Arts, William Allen High School's magnet school program, which offers studio instructions to its students in theater, dance, visual arts, and music, benefits from the event. It is truly an art show you do not want to miss. 8 by 8, 8, 8, 8, that's 64, that's more than 50. Yes, that's great. This is WDIY 88.1 FM Allentown. Lehigh Valley Art Salon is the place that you now inhabit for the next 30 minutes. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host, Kate Scuffle, we chat today. No, I didn't forget, folks. I didn't. We chat with Sherry Coucher, Allen visual arts teacher and Academy coordinator. We will chat about the Allentown Arts Academy Alliance as well and how it affects arts programming at Allen and in the community. Welcome, Sherry. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
You're quite welcome.
Hi, Sherry. It's great to know that he remembers your name and not mine. I'll try and get past it in the next half hour. Seriously, welcome aboard. 8 by 8 is coming up soon on Wednesday, November 13th from 4 to 6:30 at the Baker Center for the Arts at Muhlenberg College. And for folks that don't know, 8 by 8, where... Why? What's that mean? What is it?
Well, it started out with maybe eight inch by eight inch canvases for everyone to paint on, but then it's gone on to three dimensional work too that fits in an 8 by 8 base or space or beyond that.
And I think, in fact, the first year, I remember seeing the first year's collection at the Salome Foundation, Salome Gallery, and it was mostly canvases. There was occasionally a bit of pottery or jewelry, but you say it's expanded into a three-dimensional option as well.
There are quite a few, but it's still mostly two-dimensional, but there are quite a few three-dimensional items there this year in as well as the acrylics, the oils.
And the idea is that it's a fundraiser, essentially, for the work of the Academy.
That's correct. It's to help us with raising money to support visiting artists, workshops, museum trips, performance trips, maybe help with the spring musical, chorale trips, and supplies and equipment to help maintain our quality programs.
Which is important, especially in the environment that we're working in now, especially for such important work. Am I correct? I don't know if I am. Is there a ceiling on the price for each piece? Is there a set price, or how does it work?
Everything will start off with a $50 bid.
Okay.
And some of it will be $50. You can buy it now. But other artwork will be priced at a buy-it-now price, which could be, $100, $150, something, whatever the artist would feel, $95. And if you wanted to buy it at the buy-it-now price, it's no longer up for auction. But but everything starts at $50.
So really, by the end of the day, by 6:30 on Wednesday, I mean, this isn't like someone can wander in a week from now and pick up. This is an exciting event. It's actually a fundraising event and reception with entertainment.
That's correct. We'll have the Allen High School's Double String Quartet performing around 4:15 in the lobby, and then around 5:15 we'll have Allen High School's Chorale. There are show choir performing there, too.
And it's a wonderful space. We were talking about this just before the show, the Baker Center, with that beautiful setting with the glass, the high ceilings, the sunset happening behind you as the evening wears on.
Right. It's that space between, I think it's the Trexler Building and the Baker Center of the Arts, that large glass pyramid shape that you can see off of Chu Street. And it starts off with the sun set, and then as the evening goes, the work changes with the lighting. It's gorgeous. We are so thankful that they let us have the exhibit there.
Now, how many pieces, where are you at this week? I know that people are still dropping off and getting in touch and wrapping up the work.
We are over 70.
Wow.
Possibly 80 pieces at this point, and they're still trickling in even at the last minute. So it's still to be determined.
Now, you have a piece in the show, I understand, that's one of the more unusual, at least in terms of format or story, backstory.
Well, every morning I have uniform duty, you might say, for about a half hour outside the gymnasium at William Allen High School, where they are refurbishing and putting in the new basketball court. So when I peeked through the door every morning, I noticed it was a sea of maple wood. And all of a sudden, I just thought birdhouse. And then I thought about possibly repurposing the wood by taking the wood from the hand-painted canary emblem that honored the center court and reconstruct it and make a wonderful birdhouse, which is on an 8x8 base. And I went to the Allentown Preservation League warehouse, the one on Wall Street.
Oh, yes, yes.
Walnut Street, I'm sorry. And yeah. I was able to get a banister and a pin from a hinge, and that kind of helped out with it as well. And then I had other people maybe help me with some of the construction or the cutting of it. So it's a unique piece to own, a unique piece of history to own, and also help support the arts at William Allen
Absolutely,
High School.
Absolutely, from Allen High School, yes.
Sustainable art.
Well, we must mention that all of these wonderful works of art are actually created by students of the Allen Arts Academy. And also alumni, mm-hmm. in addition to teachers, mm-hmm. and, of course, the artists that are supporting your program at Allen's High.
So there's a lot of high-profile community artists involved, which I'd like to talk about. But I was also intrigued. There's a lot of alumni. Mm-hmm. Now, and I had never thought about it. I thought, William Allen alumni. No, specifically alumni of the arts program there, the Arts Academy. Can you tell us a little bit about some of what's come in from them?
Sure. And I just want to say it's very exciting for our students to have the opportunity to exhibit with practicing artists. So they're very excited about
that. So that's the current students as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. But to discuss some of the alumni, let me go refresh my mind here.
And I found the stories of who the alumni were and what they were doing almost as interesting as the work.
Well, we had Emily Pullum, which is our furthest piece at the moment. She sent her work over from London, and it's an acrylic painting which is called The Last Call at Armsham, which is about 30 miles northwest of London. So it's a trolley, mm-hmm. a train that you can see. And she was a former Arts Academy student who is now a graphic designer for the company called Lush. And I'm not sure if you know what that company mm-hmm. is, but they make those wonderful handmade organic soaps and spa supplies. And then her sister, younger sister, I guess there might be a little sibling rivalry or the artistic talent runs in the family. Amanda Pullum is a working artist in New York City and alumni of the Art Academy, too. So she held a painting party in New York City with a number of her artist friends, and their work will be exhibited and sold at this event, too. That just came in the other day, and the oil is drying, and it's just phenomenal, some of the pieces.
So they sent in a collection of pieces.
Yes, and they're very excited to have had, they even had a party. I mean, it was just,
that's wonderful.
They're very excited to help the Academy. Then we had Jenna Palermo. She's a former Allentown Academy of the Arts student who now works at ESPN as a designer. So she submitted a digital piece that she had created. And then we have Zach Tsang, who is a up-and-coming young artist in Allentown, and he's a former Art Academy student. His is of like a very graphic image of the Washington Grill, which is found in Allentown. And then another former Allen High School Academy alumni. His name's Steve Wilt of the Liberty Tavern fame. Yeah. He's a contributing artist and a patron of the 8x8 event. He's purchased work there, too, to support it.
So this gives you just some of the idea. I mean, and not that, and we can talk about this in a little bit, art enhances any student's life, whether or not they go on to make it their profession or not. Mm-hmm. But I think it's exciting, too, I for people to realize that the Academy not only is offering that kind of enhancement to the students' lives, but these are working artists coming out of here. They're, changing people's lives.
Right. And they're grateful what the Academy provided them during their high school experience, and they're giving back and trying to help the younger group that's coming through. And hopefully when they graduate, they'll come back and help as the years go on.
Now, George, I know you've shown in the past, there's quite a collection of artists from both Allentown, artists who aren't necessarily connected as students. Some serve on the board of the Academy. Mm-hmm. Some are just artists in the community that really support the work and find it important. Mm-hmm. And they've contributed work as well, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that the stimulation began way back in 1994 when teachers and local artists sat down together and said, what can we do to make things better here in the Lehigh Valley for all of us. And they decided at William Allen that there was a strong link of existing programs and could be even stronger in visual arts and music and theater and dance. So the seed started in 1994. And then my good friend and chemistry teacher, Steve Hatzey, helped establish the Allentown Arts Academy Alliance, along with Joan Gatiss and a whole bunch of other people, teachers and artists, again, trying to form a closer knit organization between the school and the neighborhood and the community. And when that happened, I think everything started to perk really well. I know one thing that the Academy provides students with concentrated study in arts, integrating academic standards. So it's the creative growth and it's intellectual stimulation at the same time, and it works very well.
Would you feel, I mean, you were saying earlier, too, that the Academy started out very specifically, I think, class-based, if that's the proper
phrase.
Within
the schedules, they were able to intertwine the dance and the music and theater and rotate at, in the earlier days, in the 90s, early 2000s.
How does the Academy function now? What would be the same? What would be different?
Our scheduling's a little bit tighter now. We are not able to interlace the courses as well as they used to. And it's each one, dance, theater, music, visual arts, provides a home for these students and an identity within a larger school, which for many of them, that would be where their identity comes from, as opposed to maybe just sports or other ways of identifying themselves. And now it's the Academy's kind of become a broader umbrella. We'll take interest in maybe if it's this spring musical, which is just not all theater Academy students, but other students from the general population, or the dance team Allegro, which is trying to get to, I think it's the Orange Bowl, Miami. But many of the Dance Academy students are part of the dance team, but not all the dance team members are part of the Academy. So we're just trying to cover everybody and help support the arts as much as we can. And chorale, which is our show choir. Not all those students are involved in the Music Academy, but we would still support their endeavor. Like they're going to New Orleans for a volunteer trip to perform this year as well. So we try to promote their all the art endeavors at William Allen High School, as opposed to what's within just the designated curriculum.
And we know, of course, that John Seckler works, and a few other teachers work in the theater area. We know that, of course, I think it's Joey Schubert now is with dance.
That's
is that
correct.
Right?
Yes, she is.
It was Renee Lorenzetti when I was there. And in music, it's Mark Anston and Eric Moser, who is choral.
Correct.
And so, and yourself, of course.
and Brandon Remp helps with the...
Brandon, yes.
Yes, he'll help with the chorale. He's still doing that as a side part.
So really, A by A, by supporting the event on Wednesday, too, we're not only supporting the Academy as a kind of specific Academy students and their classes, et cetera, but it, with this kind of branching out, we're really helping to support all of the activities
at
the high school.
We can only hope we can reach every single one as much as we can and help them in some other way. I mean, obviously we can't fund everything, but we would hope the show provides some support.
I think I would like to mention, if I may, a very special thanks to Joan Gatiss, who has been the foundation of a lot of what has occurred. And, of course, Kathy Alvaro, who was the spine of the whole program when I was very much involved. So I would like to say thank you to them.
Oh, absolutely. They're tough shoes to fill, both of those ladies.
It's interesting, too, to see. I noticed that on the Arts Academy, on the Alliance, which is the network or the board almost, a support group for the Academy, it's really lovely to see how many people on that are other teachers at the school, art creative teachers, art teachers, music teachers, or working artists in the community. So it's just lovely to see kind of creative and artists, as you said, giving back, not only the alumni giving back, but the artists in the community really turning out to support
this. We're going to talk more with Sherry Coucher, who is the Allen Visual Arts Teacher and Academy Coordinator for the upcoming 8x8 art show and fundraiser. So we'll be right back after these words. Thanks.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem Southside, presenting Degeneration, An Exaltation of Larks. Written and performed by the Sandglass Theater, this new work is based on stories written collaboratively by Alzheimer's and late-stage dementia patients. Performed by three puppeteers and five puppets, Degeneration takes us into their complex and mysterious world, November 14th through 17th. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Allentown Symphony Association, presenting the National Theater and the 2010 return encore broadcast of Shakespeare's Hamlet. Rory Kinnear plays Hamlet in a new production of Shakespeare's complex and profound play. Thursday, November 21st at 7 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall. For information, millersymphonyhall.org.
This is George Miller, and my wife is here too, Kate Scoffel. She's the co-host. I thought I might mention that briefly. Our guest is Shari Coucher, the Allen Visual Arts teacher and Academy Coordinator. Upcoming is 8x8, and we're going to hear more about each particular piece, are we?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because Shari was kind enough to bring along because, of course, you're a visual arts teacher. You said, I need
That's
my visuals.
Right. I do need my visuals.
You've got a wonderful collection here of visuals, actually, of some of the works that we were getting kind of a preview. It was wonderful. Can you try and paint a picture for our listeners?
Yeah, hold them up to the microphone.
Can you see this one? It's gorgeous. Look at the colors. Well, first, we have a variety of media. There's photography, digital, felt, acrylic paintings, oil paintings, pastels, pen and ink, drawings. Batik. My students did a lot of batik work, mixed media, clay, and of course repurposed wood sculpture and birdhouse. Some of the well-known local artists within our community have contributed. He did it last year, but Lee Butz is contributing a wonderful fall scene photography. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. And Hub Wilson has donated a photograph of a winter scene of the Rose Garden. And he was actually awarded the honor of creating the Baum School of Art holiday cards for this year, too.
Oh,
great.
We have Lyndia Panis. She's a practicing artist and educator at Baum School of Art. She's contributing a photograph. Rudy Ackerman from Baum School of Art is metal sculpture extraordinaire and director of Baum School of Art. He is contributing a metal piece. Claire Marcus, who is with the Lehigh Valley Arts Council, is contributing. John Gatos, a legend, is one of the best artists that we can think of here, is contributing an 8x8 canvas from his recent exhibition at the 1514 Theater and from Blink Optical. Work there. Dana Van Horn has a beautiful painting. It's titled The View of the PPNL from the ML Martin Luther King Drive, which is a nice plein air sort of painting. Rosemary Gesick from the Baum School of Art is painted in acrylic. It's with the very colorful owl reading a book, The Taming of the Shrew. Seems to be a theme running through the show. I don't know if it couldn't be on purpose, but the bird, everything with the bird keeps showing up. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
Jenny Nahan-Gidley, an art teacher at Baum, is contributing like a soft oil acrylic landscape, imaginary.
Beautiful.
Fran Ackley, an enthusiastic artist and member of the Allentown Academy of the Arts Alliance Board, who's been amazing at reaching out at our artistic community for contributions, is dedicating or contributing a piece that's kind of based on an old-fashioned advertisement.
Hmm.
Like I said, my current students are contributing batiks, which is, if you're unaware, it's an old Indonesian technique of applying wax and dipping in dyes, then waxing and dipping into the next dye bath. And it's kind of a magical experience because the end result is usually better than one could have imagined. We have student photograph by Melanie Franco. She's a dance academy student who took a photograph at the Color Run event and where they were throwing color at everyone.
Yes.
So the blue color saturation is dynamic from her photograph. I told you about our alumni. As for teachers, we have the infamous John Roylance with his Raku fired clay pottery.
Wow.
And that kind of fits within an 8x8 framework.
Mm-hmm.
Bob McFredridge, who is another teacher at William Allen, visual art teacher. He's highly skilled draftsman artist. He's contributing this ridiculously rendered image of Sandy Kovacs. Baseball player.
Baseball player.
Yes. Boy, I don't know how those elbows bend like that.
Sandy Kovacs. That's right.
That's right. We have our former... actually, we have former art educator and the current president of the Art Academy Alliance, Kathy Alvaro. She's contributing one of her collectible photographs. It's this spectacular, kind of like a light lavender, maple yellow close-up of garlic, mostly black and white, but just hints of color. And I think she photographed that on her trip to Italy. And then her talented son, Nicholas Alvaro, who lives in Southern California, he's contributing a traditional black and white photograph of Yosemite National Park. Kind of has a Ansel Adams feel to it. Jane Kinser, who is a part of the art education at the Allentown Art Museum, she painted this beautiful landscape this year, very vibrant. And Andy Bigatell from the Art Museum, he's associate manager of collections and exhibitions. He kind of does this little spray paint stencil work and then goes back in with pen and ink. He helped out, came in as an artist last year. My students really loved that whole stencil paint. And then quite a few people today, I just received artwork from the art museum who contributed. There was the felt piece I was telling you about. Angie Villa, she's a local artist, educator, and musician. She created an acrylic painting of Malala, Growing in Peace. Malala was a courageous Pakistani girl who survived being shot in the head by the Taliban while trying to get an education.
Right.
So her painting kind of represents the seeds of peace and equality the girl represented by standing up for the basic human right to an education. Now, Sue Williams, of the public relations fame, she worked with Allentown School District. She did this really nice, soft yellow bird with pastels, and there's a nice yellow frame that goes around that.
And she's a relatively new artist.
She is, and I find that hard to believe. I think she's been creating at home. This might be the first time she's putting her artwork out there. She might say she hasn't, but she's I can't believe that she just started. Jeff Weatherhold, he's a teacher in Parkland School District. He did a kind of a vibrant sort of street scene here with the bridge. And then there's a wonderful baseball drawing, another one influenced, I'm not sure who, but it's by Matthew Kitts. He's a fifth grade teacher at Northwestern Lee High School District. And the title's Curtain Call for the Captain, 3,000 hits, with the number 2 on the shirt. Now, I don't know my baseball. I bet somebody out there knows.
Steve, this is Kelly Steve. Steve knows.
Derek Jeter.
Hey, see, there we go. Home run. You might want to come to this event. We have Virginia Abbott. She has a studio at the Banana Factory. Yeah. She contributed more of a sort of a different type of portrait.
She works with the paper and the paper.
Danielle Kreener, she did a simple but very eloquent purple flower painting. We had an artist from Philadelphia, Claudia McGill. She donated actually 3 paintings, a triptych in her style. One was of landscape, one was of interior, and one was architectural.
So if for anyone that has the idea that this is just a few drawings by some art students, which would be fine too, which would be lovely, this is not. This is a really incredibly diverse show celebrating not only the students, but the artists of this community, the alumni, and it's affordable. I mean, this is a real way to start collecting. This is how you start to collect art.
Anybody that wants to collect will collectible will find some wonderful. They'll come for the names, but there's also up and coming artists too. They might want to look.
Well, that's what I always find when I've been to the show. It's I often don't know who's done what. You kind of wander around. It's so fabulous. It's the size is just right to kind of scan, and when you just respond to what you're drawn to and find that you can actually afford it and take it home, it's actually wonderful to watch younger people. I find who are buying their first piece of art, and really the palpable excitement. It's lovely. Right. So it's not only the artists that are creating that are being supported, but we're creating that audience for art.
That's true.
Oh, we need to tell everybody again how and where it is. It's Wednesday. This Wednesday. Oh, my goodness. It's this Wednesday. November the 13th, 4 to 6:30 p.m. at the Baker Center for the Arts, Muhlenberg College. You know where it's at, 2400 Shoe Street, Allentown. And there will also be performances by Allen High School's Chorale and Double String Quartet. So it's a great night of entertainment, some great art you can look at, and great art you can purchase. All for you. It's called 8x8, and it's offered really by the Allentown Academy of the Arts Alliance, who is supportive in promoting art for thinking and problem solving that goes beyond specialties and carrying over to sciences, business, and industry. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, yes. I want to say, I always run out of time. Uncle Steve Aronson is our technical engineer who constantly amazes us with his artistic renditionings of vocal waves through digital interpretations. Wow. Listen to that. My voice is more colorful than ever. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. We just want you to know that this is a very important kind of an event that you need to go to support not only our school district, our arts program, our community, our neighborhood, and artists who are out there living and surviving in the Lehigh Valley. What a wonderful opportunity for everyone.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
me.
WDIY 88.1, Allentown, and HD.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies. a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of The Press.
How funny is Bad Grandpa? Take it from the ticket seller at the multiplex. Quote, the girl at the concession counter had to use her inhaler 3 times. Don't take it from me. Then again, 2 moviegoers walked out during the first third of a recent matinee of Bad Grandpa at that same multiplex. Don't take it from me. Quote, next time, let's go to lunch and forget it when there's a bad movie, said an elderly woman to her 2 elderly female friends sitting in the row in front of me. The 3 women walked out about halfway through Bad Grandpa. Don't take it from me. Bad Grandpa opened at number 1 at the box office with a robust $32 million for the October 25 weekend. So, Bad Grandpa is clearly not only popular with the medical inhaler crowd. The premise of Bad Grandpa is that Johnny Knoxville, he of the Jackass TV series and movies, is disguised as Irving Zisman, an 86-year-old Caucasian senior citizen with no manners whatsoever, a preference for betting women, and a sense of humor that makes that of Borat look sophisticated. Bad Grandpa is a kind of senior citizen version of Borat, where the unsuspecting public is punked or put upon without apparently realizing it, all the while filmed with hidden cameras. It's a twist on the 1960s TV show Candid Camera, where Alan Funt tried to get the best of people. Bad Grandpa is a hybrid, though, as there is a bit of a storyline. And we emphasize bit of a storyline. Following his wife's death, Irving Zisman, played by Johnny Knoxville, drives he and his grandson Billy, played by Jackson Nicole, in a lime-green 2-door 1981 Lincoln Continental from Lincoln, Nebraska to Raleigh, North Carolina, where the boy's father is itching to gain custody, and especially the $600 per month stipend that goes with it, after the boy's mother is jailed for violating her drug charges parole. Along the way, grandpa and grandson get into all sort of hijinks and scrapes, many of which they perpetrate on apparently clueless strangers. These include mourners at grandpa's wife's funeral, employees at a shipping package firm, male strippers at a bar, patrons at a diner, attendees at a wedding reception, contestants at a child beauty pageant, and bikers. Jeff Tremaine, who directed the Jackass TV show and movies, directs Bad Grandpa from a screenplay he co-wrote with Johnny Knoxville, based on a story he co-wrote with Knoxville, Fax Barr, Adam Small, and Spike Jones. Bad Grandpa has a stunt coordinator, stunt persons, hidden camera operators, and special effects and makeup department, the latter to transform the 42-year-old Johnny Knoxville into the 86-year-old Bad Grandpa. You may wonder why I would review a movie like Bad Grandpa. For one thing, I was curious to see why Bad Grandpa opened at number 1. Take it from me, I still don't have a clue. Bad Grandpa is MPAA rated R for strong, crude, and sexual content throughout, language, some graphic nudity, and brief drug use. Opening November 15, The Best Man Holiday. College friends unite after 15 years during the Christmas season holiday. Terrence Howard, Regina Hall, Taye Diggs, Melissa D'Souza, Morris Chestnut, Nia Long, and Monica Calhoun star in the comedy. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.